Afterwards is section 36. A sentence fragment spread over 16 lines, distributing clauses that ebb and flow according to the tidal movements of the poet's imagination, accumulating images of the casualties incurred in the sea battle celebrated in the previous section, invoking all the senses to give a vivid account of its aftermath, the sinking ship, flames and voices, the mingled odors of sedge grass, salt air, and gunpowder, reckoning up the losses, a child, an old salt, formless stacks of bodies and bodies by themselves, dabs of flesh upon the masts and spars, in a catalogue that darkens word by word, wheeze, cluck, swash of falling blood, short wild scream, and long dull tapering groan, before concluding with four terrible words, these so, these irretrievable. Whitman loved the sea, the greatest battlefield of all, where at every moment the forces of life and death contend, in numberless encounters hidden from view, and here on the breast of the darkness, aboard the victorious ship, he acknowledges the limits of his song, which cannot save the dead or heal the wounded. He added one line to the original version, a few large stars overhead, silent and mournful shining, to suggest the cosmic scale of his undertaking, also the inadequacy of any human response to the carnage of war, including his foreshadowing of what was to come with the attack of the South Carolina militia on Fort Sumter and the Confederacy's secession from the Union. The poet closes this section not with a verb, which would turn the fragment into a sentence, but with two phrases, which sound like the beginning of a sentence that will never be completed, leaving readers in a state of suspension, helpless before the spectacle of war. Homer knew that man was at the mercy of capricious gods. Who is to say this is not so?